Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. There's an old saying that an inconsistent response will make a behavior worse than if you don't do anything at all. And yet, in spite of the fact that any trainer who knows anything is more than aware of this, and certainly many, many people who aren't trainers are aware of this too, consistency is sometimes a very, very rare quality in our society. It's almost as if in the past 30, 40 years or so, think and do, or think and then do, philosophy that used to dominate our education and society has been replaced by just do it. Don't think about it, just do it. Now, the just do it philosophy is fine if you're being pursued by a predator, either a real predator or an imaginary predator on an athletic field. But when it comes to the long-term, sometimes months, of consistent response necessary to change a serious behavioral problem in an animal or to treat a serious medical problem, just do it doesn't cut it. You have to think about that first. You have to think about what's involved. And it's the thinking about it that leads to commitment. Just doing is short-term. Thinking and then doing is long term. There's one way to cut to the chase on this, though, and that is to realize that all of the options we have relative to any given problem can be summed up in four basic choices. The first choice is that we can accept the situation as it exists, including our lousy feelings. So in this situation, a person decides that, yeah, they don't like the dog's incessant barking. It drives them up the wall. But hey, you know, they don't have any neighbors, and they'll just wear earplugs. The second choice is that we accept the problem as it exists, but we change our lousy feelings about it. Now, in this case with the barking dog, the person would say, yes, I understand why he's barking. He feels he has to protect this space because I'm not giving him the necessary cues to relieve him of that burden. But I don't have time to mess around with that stuff. And if that makes sense to him, that's cool with me. The third group of choices involves changing something or changing someone. Most commonly, this is where people start. They zero right in on change. They want to change something or someone. And what they want to change is the dog. They want a pill. They want a magic collar. They want a magic harness. Some process that will instantly change the dog. If that doesn't work, then they want to change the environment. Think about it, folks. Who is the one being whose change you can 100% absolutely guarantee? If you didn't figure it out, take a look in the nearest mirror. We can only guarantee change in ourselves. So what's the holdup with changing ourselves in order to change our dog's behavior? Well, I think it's one of those three-letter words, E-G-O, ego. We've been raised in a tradition that training involves changing the dog. It is the dog's responsibility to change. That has nothing to do with us. All we want to do is give the reward, or give the punishment, or give the pill. That's all we want to do. Has nothing to do with us. But if that doesn't work, then we build a soundproof room, Or we dig a moat around the house or surround the yard with a chain link fence with barbed wire on top of it and put the lawyer on retainer for the aggressive dog. It has nothing to do with us at all. So that's the third choice. And the fourth one is one that has gotten me in a lot of trouble, but I stand by it, particularly in the case of animals with serious problems, be they medical or behavioral, and that is the choice to terminate the relationship. Give the animal up, or we have the animal euthanized. Now, if you're one of those people who immediately cringe and say, no, don't talk about that. I don't want to hear about that. You need to hear about it. On the other hand, if you've got an animal with a serious problem, and I ask you to consider euthanasia or giving that dog up, and you can look me square in the eye and say, no, I will do anything I have to keep this animal. I am not going to give this animal up or put her down. Then I know it's going to be fine. That person has considered this. That person isn't running away from this possibility. This person has thought about it. They know it's not an option. They have chosen not to go that route. Now compare that to the person who says, let's give this a try for a few weeks. And then if he's not better, I hate to do it, but, I tried and I'm going to get rid of her. That's not commitment. That's not the commitment that is needed to ensure the consistent response necessary to resolve the problem. So there you have it. You got four choices. Accept the situation, including your lousy feelings. Accept the situation and change your lousy feelings to neutral or positive ones. Change someone or something, preferably starting with yourself because that's the easiest one. And the fourth one is to consider terminating the relationship. Very simple. Should be done before you initiate any kind of treatment program. And also remember that there is a fifth choice, the choice not to choose at all. And the result of that isn't just a lack of commitment. The choice not to choose results in paralysis.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.